This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name. Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's morning Bible study. We are in Exodus chapter 35, finishing out the chapter this morning. I think a very interesting passage, not only interesting, God's specific. When He speaks through His Word, oftentimes He is going to tell you something, and what you may understand to be how it is and how He sees it is not in line. And the way you see it may be because of culture, maybe because of the times and the seasons we live in. And then you realize, oh, but God doesn't see it that way. That is me living where I'm at, rather than realizing that the eternal God is at work in all seasons and at all times, and He's the same. And so He's timeless, and I'm very time-oriented because that's where I live. And that's not necessarily a terrible thing. It's just one of those things that oftentimes hampers us from seeing God from an eternal perspective, seeing Him throughout history, seeing Him through the generations, seeing Him even in my own life from when I was young to when I was older. It's just oftentimes one of those things where you can be so in the now that you can't see God as He really is in His fullness. And I think that is very true about this subject matter because of the church culture that we live in and the way we do church. We have become, in many ways, our churches have become corporate, and that would be natural because we live in a capitalist, a democratic society where a lot of opportunities and a lot of bringing people out of poverty and bringing people out of the way they would say it when I was young, the poorhouse. We're a culture that has advanced a whole lot in economics. We are economically wealthy, very wealthy. And so our churches, because they're planted in that soil, we oftentimes are very corporate. We have a paid staff to do a lot of things. When I say we, I'm talking about the culture in general. We don't have a very high paid staff, but we contract out a lot of things that we do at the church. Sometimes churches contract out their cleaning. They contract out any kind of work that's done in the building as far as upkeep, maintenance, grass cutting, all those type of things. The things that are done at the church location, wherever that church is meeting, they contract those things out. The pastoral staff or the ministry staff oftentimes really doesn't have any knowledge in that area, and I'm one of them. I'm a product of that. I don't have a whole lot of plumbing or electrical or woodworking knowledge. I have enough knowledge to make me dangerous, enough knowledge to get in the middle of something and realize that I'm drowning in it. And so that happens a lot in the church culture that we live in. And a failure to recognize and realize, and oftentimes even we think that we're going to separate the two out. You have the spiritual and the physical, and the spiritual needs to be done at the church. And then that's how we push our people to be very spiritual and spiritually minded. And that's how you give to God. You give to God by your tithes and offerings. That's the physical way you give to Him. And then the way you give to Him is you live your life, a godly life, and you share your faith with other people. And that's how you live the Christian life out. And that's how you give of yourself to God. And that, when you read this passage, is not the whole story. It is just absolutely not the whole story. And in fact, it would be a modern Gnosticism that we've developed into. And when I say Gnosticism, that's a heresy and it's wrong. But we always tend toward heading in the wrong direction anyway. And Gnosticism is where you separate the spiritual and the physical.
And everything you do physical really doesn't matter. The spiritual is all that matters. And as long as you're spiritually right with God, you can do whatever you want to in the physical. And that is a very rudimentary explanation of Gnosticism. But if you think about it, that's what we do in the church, spiritually speaking. We've made the church a spiritual place and a place where the way you serve God, the only physical way you serve God, is that you give him money. And then you do spiritual things like Bible studies, like sharing your faith, like living out your life and being a Christian and posting things on Facebook and things like that. And so we've really separated the two out. And when I read this passage, I realize there's a lot more to this, and this physical world and us being good at what we do in this physical world. And God cares about that. It says in verse 30, "And Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name," and I'm going to butcher these names, "Bezalel, the son of Uri, and the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he's filled them with the Spirit of God." So when you read that, you go, he's filled them with the Spirit of God. They're going to be a preacher or a teacher, or they're going to do one of those. They're going to be an evangelist. They're probably going to go out and evangelize. So they've been filled with the Spirit of God to do something. So they're definitely got to be doing something really spiritual, right? You read that. They're filled with the Spirit of God. That's what you think. He says, "In wisdom and understanding," oh yeah, I'm adding to it. He says, "In wisdom and understanding," meaning wisdom is seeing the world from God's perspective. It is knowledge that is from the perspective of God, so that I see truth from his perspective. And understanding is, it's understanding how things operate. So this guy's filled with, he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, and in the knowledge of all manner of workmanship. Whoa, hold on, what are you talking about? To design artistic work, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for settings, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. So this guy was an artisan. This Bezalel is an artisan. And he's the son of Uri and Hur, by the way. Don't want to miss them out. Leave them out. But he says he's filled with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and the knowledge of workmanship. And God quite clearly here gives him what we would call anywhere in time and history as far as the church has been concerned. When God would say something about somebody like this, that they're filled with the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, they're filled with the Spirit of God, and they have knowledge that is from God, you would say that is a gift of God. That's something God is doing in a person's life, and that was something that God had set them aside and set them apart for doing for his glory and for his benefit. And yet, it's in artisan work. It's in workmanship. It's in the work of the physical things to make them for the church, to make them for the benefit of the church. And God is treating him just as highly as he would be treating Moses or David or Samuel. His words are powerful words. They're words that anyone would want God to say about them. And it deals with physical things. And in our pseudo-Gnostic way of doing church, maybe we're a little bit off. Maybe God, sure, the New Testament gives us a list of spiritual gifts, but quite clearly, God in the Old Testament here indicates that the giftings that he has given this man, and this man operates in excellence, it is a gift from the Spirit of God. In fact, that's how he starts with it. He's filled with the Spirit of God. And that Spirit's given him wisdom and understanding and knowledge in these areas, in these artisan areas, in these workmanship areas. And those uses are important to the church. They're important to the body. He says he's good at working gold and silver. He's a handyman. He's a handyman on a high level. He's great at artistic work with gold and silver and bronze and cutting jewels and settings and carving wood and all types of artistic workmanship. What he's saying is he is a fantastic carpenter, and he's a fantastic jeweler, and he's really good at molding gold and silver and bronze. And if they'd had a lot of copper and the different metals that we use today to operate, they didn't have any they didn't have all the accoutrements that we have at Home Depot and Lowe's, but they couldn't drive out there and pick it up and make it happen. But apparently these are giftings. Apparently, unbeknownst to us, these were giftings from God, perhaps even spiritual giftings from God. Lo and behold, look at there. There it is. Maybe these things are very much needed in the church and in the body of Christ to build the kingdom, to do kingdom work. And the truth is, if you look at it, it is. And in our church, for sure it is, because we're a new church, and we've got all kinds of things that's got to be taken care of, and all kinds of things that have to be handled. And it requires people who know what they're doing. And I'm not one of them in most of those areas. I'm not one who is good at that. I'm not one who can do that. I am one who contracts those things out, generally speaking, in my own life. And the church that we're in can't afford to just contract everything out that needs to be done, because there's a lot that needs to be done. And there are a lot of people who serve, a lot of men and women giving of their giftings to make the church and to design the church in such a way, even though it's just an old rodeo club, it's an old bar, to make it work and make it operable, make it something that can build the kingdom of God. And God's saying here, these gifts are spiritual in nature too. They're not just physical gifts. You shouldn't just separate them out. You've got the spiritual gifts, and then you've got talent and skills that other people have. You might ought to consider them from God also. And after reading this passage and thinking about it over the weekend, I do. I think they're spiritual. And I've had somebody in the church here, Henry, over at my house, helping me with some artisan work. It's artisan work in an area that most people don't want to work in. But to have those skills and those talents and those giftings, wow, it is important. It's important to make it happen. And I would say to you that as we read this, we may need to rethink how we think about spiritual gifts. He says, and he's put in his heart the ability to teach in him. And Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, the tribe of Dan, he's filled them with skill to do all manner of work in engraving and designing and tapestry making and blue and purple and scarlet thread and fine linen. And of the weaver, those who do every work and those who design so we're talking about weaving, we're talking about clothing, we're talking about designing curtains, we're talking about all that kind of work. And these men are not only they're great artisans at it, they're able to teach others to do it, they are able to pass it down to other people. If it was any other spiritual gift, you would think that's exactly how it's done. You get good at it, God gives you the gift, you operate in it, you work in it, you become fantastic at it, you hand it down, you teach other people how to do it, and it spreads throughout the body of Christ. And yet we oftentimes treat these skills and these abilities as if they're not as spiritual as maybe perhaps preaching or teaching or maybe perhaps evangelism or prayer or things like that. And quite clearly from Scripture, these things are of great importance, and they're skills given to us by God, and they ought to be treated as such. And I will always treat them, after thinking through this weekend and God putting me in this position, I will always think them as such. Because they're important. God has given every individual, he's given us a time and a season to live in. He's given us the experiences of our life. He's given us the talents and skills that are both what we would call spiritual and those that we would call physical. And each one of them apparently comes from God. And apparently from them, when we're filled with the Spirit of God, they are spiritually ordered and mindful when we put our hearts to using them to the glorification of God, and they are important in the body of Christ. And so on this Monday morning, no matter where you find yourself, no matter what occupation you may be in, luckily in the culture that we live in today and in the society and the economy that we live in today, those who do these works, carpentry and plumbing and electrical work and building and things like that, luckily in the seasons that we live in, these are rare skills and their talents, and people can make a really good living at doing it, a lot more than they could 100 years ago, a lot greater than they could when I was a boy. If you go into a area like that in your life and you work real hard and become good at it, you will become someone who makes a lot of money, a good living for your family in doing this. And apparently it's a gift of God also, and the church needs it. And I want you to hear me today as those that are part of Lake Community Church, we need you to be doing it. We need you to join in. The church building is open and available for those who'd like to do work. And we'd like to know that you're there so that we can order and make sure that nobody's in there on top of each other. But if God's called you to do something, you ought to go in there and do it. And you ought to use your talents and skills as such so that we can. Now, we're going to administrate. We're going to make sure that everything is in line with what other people are doing. But if you've got a heart towards something in the body and in the church that we're serving, you ought to express what God's laid on your heart, just like you would any other spiritual understanding that God's given you. And then you ought to seek out how you can effectuate that in our body. And so I would say to you today that God has blessed you with many things. You ought to use all of them to the glory of His name.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that He'll make His face to shine upon you, and that He will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.